remembered to wear pants with pockets today so I could not have to hold a microphone because I do tend to use my hands a lot. Now, the last time I spoke, I could only use one leg, and I had to try to use my hands. That was really hard because I sat in a chair down there. So I am thankful and praising him that I'm allowed to be on 2 feet. And I'm very honored to be able to speak again because it's Pastor Rob asked me at the right times all the time whenever I'm just about filled to the brim and I'm ready to explode. So what happens with me is I get all these things and I try to cram all of them into one clump. So what my hope is today is that I can address a couple things and I'm hoping that they can come together for all of us with a greater understanding. I'm going to be reading a lot out of Philippians and some other scripture as well. And the words that I kept hearing, now last week I talked about I saw a mountain and people circling the bottom. And I said, it's time to climb that mountain. And in Deuteronomy, I believe it, I don't know the exact verse in there, but it talks about, you know, quit circling the mountain, go northward, it's time to climb it. The first thing that I want to do is read from 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be resolute in love without stopping. Now, the title of this message, I actually have one this time because I kept hearing these three words pretty firmly, stand your ground. Now, what that means to me is not condemning others, but we need to be the example. So the first thing I'm going to do is something that might make some of you uncomfortable, and that's, I apologize, but I think that it needs to be addressed. With current events that are happening globally, it's heart-wrenching. Things are happening in our world. Things are happening in our nation. It's just increasing over the past year. And if you're not bothered by what's happening, I see that as an issue. If you're not getting sad or angry at those things, that's an issue. But we have to understand what we are the example. The ecclesia is the example. We can't be angry with condemnation, angry with criticism or accusation, because then we become on the wrong team. So I'm going to call it righteous anger. So it's okay to be angry with the current things, but if that takes you down that path of accusation and criticism, you're playing for the wrong team. You're tampering with the wrong things, and if you want to see fulfillment in his promises, I suggest that that probably should end. And I feel that pretty firmly in my spirit, or I wouldn't be sharing it with you. It's very easy to get angry. Just as an example, I'm a teacher. This school year I knew was going to be challenging. The chatter that I hear in the building is challenging to listen to because of all the restrictions and the guidelines that we have to follow and still try to teach these kids. It's very difficult. It does cause anger. But we have to know what to do with it. And on the team of anger and accusation, there will always be loss. We don't want to lose. We're supposed to bring everybody to victory. So I think that what we need to do is have mercy for those that persecute, just like he does for us. We're not perfect, so we have to go on that side by saying, Lord, please forgive us, heal us. We need to pray for them and not just stand in accusation, because in all reality, we are not to be the accuser. There's one accuser, and that can't be the ecclesia. What we need to do is identify with those people and we can plead their case. Forgive them, Lord. So with your anger, you need to channel it into mercy and grace, which is easier said than done. I'm sure you can all agree with me. Teach us to pray, Lord, for the right things. And one of those things is for our enemies, especially in this time. I'm going to read 1 Peter 5:9-11. Keep a cool head. stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world, so keep a firm grip on the faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for us in Christ, eternal and glorious plans, will have you put together and on your feet for good. He gets the last word, and he does. So that's just a little bit of encouragement. We need to continue to stay on our feet. That's what we need to be doing. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Paul. Paul was formerly Saul, and he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and Jesus said, Paul persecuted Christians, the church. He said, why are you persecuting Christians? And Saul he was afraid, and Jesus told him to go into the city, and it shall be told to you what you should do. Fast forward a little bit, Paul's in prison. I'm going to try to relate. I'm not saying we're in prison. That's not what I'm trying to say. But what I'm trying to say is the situation that we're in globally at times feels like a prison with the restrictions and the guidelines and just the different views on things. I mean, it can make you crazy if you go down that rabbit hole. When Paul was in prison, what he did was he used all of his knowledge to reach all the other prisoners. These are probably evil people that were in there. I'm sure they treated others very badly. But Paul was like a rose placed in there among all those thorns. And his job was to win all those hearts and to tell them about Jesus. So I'm going to read out of Philippians 1. I have like 95,000 sticky tabs everywhere, and I am reading from some notes, so you'll have to just bear with me a little bit. And it's like I don't know where to put my stuff. So that's good. All right. This is verses 12 through 14. What I want you to keep in mind is when I'm reading this, I am going to be reading kind of a lot, but I feel that it's extremely important. So just be encouraged with these words. That's what I would like. I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of the Messiah. This made them curious, and now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus here have become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever, speaking out fearlessly about God and about the Messiah. This is verses 18 through 21. So how am I to respond? I've decided that I really don't care about their motives, whether they're mixed, bad, or indifferent. Every time one of them opens his mouth, Christ is proclaimed. So I just cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known. Regardless of whether I live or die, they didn't shut me up. They gave me a platform. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his prize. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. That's so true. And we can apply that every day. Every day when we wake up, we can apply that. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. Our job is to still speak the truth. Speak truth. As hard as it is, as hard as the situation is, as sad as some things might be, the people around you, they need to feed off of you. You don't need to be feeding into their junk. We need to be giving them grace and some type of knowledge, and we can only do that by seeking him first. That's our job. So in that, we have to stand our ground. It says, as long as I'm alive in this body, there is good work for me to do. As long as we're alive, there's good work for us to do. We need to be doing the work. We're the foot soldiers. This is verses 27 through 30. Meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. Let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. Your conduct must be the same. Whether I show up to see these things for myself or hear of it from a distance, stand united. This is important. Singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message. The good news, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and unity will show them what they're up against. Defeat for them and victory for you, and both because of God. There's far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for him, and the suffering is as much a gift as the trusting. You're involved in the same kind of struggle you saw me go through, on which you are now getting an updated report in this letter. So he's writing to the Philippians there. So what he's saying is the very thing set to destroy us, the situations, are just nothing but an oppositional force to try to get us down. That's where we have to stand our ground. The very thing that's set to destroy us, we're in a position to conquer. In the suffering is the promise of victory. So in the giant is the promise of victory. In the giant that causes the suffering, on the other end of that is the promise of victory. We have the victory. That suffering is going to take us there, which is going to make you appreciate the victory even more. So through suffering is the promise. So what I want you to remember every day, if you watch the news, that's all I'm going to say there. But if you watch the news, just remember that through suffering, there's a victory. The victory is already won, but it's our job to get others there. That's what we need to be doing. He will put into that battle all the equipment that we need to get us as the ecclesia there and to get those other people there. We just have to ask for it. And all those victories will get to be used in the next season. The victories, meaning hearts won. Maybe you know somebody that has no idea who our Lord Jesus is, and you're bringing them to him. Through whatever happened there, there's a victory. So keep that in mind. So the whole book of Philippians is used to encourage us to stand our ground. Under all circumstances, have faith and believe, and in the end, there will be a victory. In Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. God is strong and he wants you strong, so take everything the master has set out for you. Well-made weapons of the best materials and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Amen to that. If we are weak in any way, we can't stand our ground. We need to get into the Word and dwell on it day and night, just like it says, and pray for clarity daily so we know how to approach this battle the way that we need to. And through that, he'll help us. That's pretty much what that's saying. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. With truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation, these are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. That's so important. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. So again, this is so heavy on my heart, because I am going to be honest with you. With what happened in Afghanistan, I was very angry. Very angry. And it was just like as soon as that anger welled up, a button was pushed and was like, no, I'm going to start praying for these people. I'm going to start praying for the Taliban. Because wouldn't it be a miracle if we could see just a victory there? I just have this vision in my head of them all on their knees. And they turn to our God instead of the one that they believe in. That's what I see. So this battle that I'm talking about, where I'm saying stand your ground, it's not just for us individually. It's not just for our nation. This is for people globally. This is a crisis globally. We need to be entering into this battle with everything that we need to pray that this ends with a victory, which we know it will, but we have to help it get to that point. Pray hard and long. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I just feel that that's extremely important with us in this building together. For each other. We need to keep each other's spirits up. Just give me just a second. I have, my spirit is very stirred right now. Be confident in this. He who began a great work in you will finish it until the day of the return of Christ Jesus. It's so important that we realize our duty. I just feel that we need to realize our duty and we need to press on and go northward and stop circling that mountain. I'm going to pray right now because I feel like that's what I'm led to do. So if you could bow your heads with me, please. Our precious and heavenly Father, we love you so much. And thank you so much for loving us the way that you love us. That we wake up every day, we need to realize that we are important and that you see us as important. We are such a part of you. What breaks your heart needs to break ours. So we can see through different eyes. Please allow us to see through the eyes of others, people that are not like us, so that more empathy can be given, more compassion can be given. The things that make us angry, turn it around for good. Give us the knowledge and the clarity to turn those things around for good, so that instead of criticizing others and accusing others, we can help others in every way that we possibly can. The ache in your heart, we need to feel that same ache in order to press forward in this battle. Please continue to give us everything that we need. Every person that's sitting in here today, come and just put your presence around them. Let them feel your presence, Lord. Your fresh breath. Let it fall on them. Give them a confidence that they've never had before. To get to know more of you. To have more of a relationship with you. So that we can help these others that may not have that privilege. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here today. I think right now what we need to do is just bask in his presence a little bit. Just allow him to put a big heavenly hug around you. Maybe there's something that maybe you have a need, or you just need a fresh start. You need something fresh and new. Just ask for that right now. Ask for it right now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your provisions. And meet the needs of everyone here and outside of this place. Whatever they ask. Just enter into a little time of worship, please. feel like there's something on your heart that you're not sure what it is. It's something though. It's something that's driving you because there's something that you really desire, something that you really want to do. And you keep saying to yourself, I don't think I can do that because I'm not going to do it right. And this is a daily thing. This is a daily struggle. It's a hindrance and it's hindering you. You have to let that go because you're not going to be able to get that thing if you don't let that little voice go. Be confident. Be confident in Him. He loves you with an everlasting, unending love. He's the comforter. He's the provider. You are worthy. You are worthy of all the things that He has to give. So don't doubt that for one second. He will give you the desires of your heart. Stop circling that mountain. It's time to climb it, and He will help you get there.